So this is answer to the questions. Bodhicaya Avatara, second chapter, and question and answer number 7 or number 5, 6, whatever you call it. This is the question from Linda. Rinpoche, thank you for your very clear and helpful answer to my question about prostration. I have an additional question. I have practiced Hatha Yoga for many years, and in some ways this links in my mind with doing prostrations. In the West, Hatha Yoga is often taught as a physical rather than spiritual discipline. Would it be appropriate at the beginning of a Hatha Yoga class to silently say the refuge prayer, and at the end of the class to silently say the dedication, to make the Hatha class more clearly part of my Dharma practice, also trying to be mindful during the class, focus on asanas, not be too distracted in my mind? Of course you can do that. Actually, Hatha Yoga always has been part of a spiritual practice, and Buddhism especially has lots of Hatha Yoga practices which we do in retreat, which is very much part of the spiritual practice, actually a very strong one. But in the West it's taught as an exercise because they don't want to have the spiritual side, or they, at least the teachers thought that they don't want that. That's why it's like that. But of course, individually you can do whatever is appropriate for you. There's nothing wrong doing motivation in the beginning, refuge or bodhisattva's kind of motivation, and in the end doing dedication, whether silently or loudly, doesn't matter. Then the next question is, it seems to me that the Buddhist concept of confession is quite different from that of the Judeo-Christian tradition. Both involve deep regret, but the purification process you describe sounds very clear-cut. You see clearly what you have done wrong and you make a decision not to do this again. In the West, I think confession is associated with remorse and guilt, even a feeling that one deserves to be punished for being bad. Is this a correct understanding of the difference between the Buddhist and the Judeo-Christian concept of confession? Probably it is. I cannot say that I know everything about Judeo-Christian way of doing things, but from the Buddhist point of view, you can, you know, purify. You have to purify. You have to, you know, because the negative deeds is not part of you. It is, it's affecting you, but it is not yourself. So therefore, you need to kind of get rid of them. It's like an habit. You can get rid of them, but you should try to get rid of them, like a bad habit or a bad addiction. So therefore, you need to take steps and use whatever methods needed to let it go. So that's the main understanding from Buddhist point of view. Then another question, Raquel Garcia Arroyo. Why does Santideva talk about death in chapter 2 so realistically? I mean, I guess he, dear master, finally died, but why is he exposing death in chapter 2 and not in the last chapter? Also, why is purification important at this point of the teaching? Why is not purification needed at the end when we have all the information to do the best purification? Well, from the Buddhist point of view, you need to think about the death in the beginning, because you need to inspire yourself to practice, and you need to understand death, you need to understand impermanent, you need to understand, you know, the karma, and that's why you want to practice. So therefore, why you practice? You practice because you're afraid of death. You want to practice because you want to transform before you die. You want to practice because you want to know, you know, the situations of the life. So therefore, there's nothing that it has to be. Because if you talk about death only at the end, then you know, why do the practice? So therefore, it needs to be done in the beginning, and there's nothing wrong to discuss this in the beginning, because that's the purpose of why we need to practice. And also, purification, because we are now discussing about how to take the bodhisattva's, you know, vows, because we generated, we talked about why it's necessary to generate the bodhicitta, and then we are about to take the bodhisattva's vows, and in order to do that, then we need, there is kind of a seven branch practice recommended, and therefore we talked about prostration, we talked about offering, and the third is the purification, and then there will be other things like rejoicing and things like that. So therefore, it's the place here. And especially this second chapter is mostly, or it's kind of chiefly about the purification. That's why it's discussed here. Because at the end, you know, we need to try to purify from the beginning, not at the end, because at the end, then it's purified. Of course, the purification will take place, you know, gradually, all the time. It's not that you have to do it only in the beginning, but anywhere, any place is a good place to start. Then Isabel Rodic, dear Rinpoche, thank you for your positive way to explain the confession of negative deeds. I realize that all negative things that I've done were related with my convictions at that moment, and remember is painful, ignorance, poor training of mind and limited sense of others' welfare were the greatest causes. May I offer them to the Buddha and Bodhisattvas, asking for awareness. Because I'm not sure to not commit it again, I only can take refuge again and again to guide my journey. Well, I think I don't know whether you offer the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas your misdeeds. That's not the very good offering. You need to by understanding that it is harmful to you and harmful to others, you try not to do it again, or at least reduce doing it. At least think before you do. Something like that would be very good. You can seek the blessings and the help of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, that you may not do these kind of negative things again. That's the important part, I think. And identifying failure is so important to rectify and preventing it from occurring again. But if those failures are traces of character we have, a tendency to deal with as normally, and we easily forget, and so it comes again, how to find the motivation for change? Is it necessary to establish a plan? Does it contradict our spontaneity? Because I think all of us have tolerance toward ourselves, is it treachery? I think we need to, the motivation to change is by seeing its negative effect. I think it's good to establish a plan. We don't need to be spontaneous all the time. We can have a plan. We can make, efforts. We can, there's nothing to be spontaneous about that. And then with clear understanding that we want to do the right thing because it's better for us and better for others. And try to kind of remind ourselves again and again, and try to act accordingly, and that's the practice. Of course, sometimes we miss it, we don't do the right thing, our habitual tendencies take over and things like that. But again, we say, okay, this time it happened, but now next time, I make sure that it doesn't happen so much, or even little less, or not at all, or whatever. Then this is the last question. For people who are not highly realized but are trying to change and not get so caught up with negative emotions, is it realistic to say you can get rid of negative emotions? This sounds to me like a very advanced practice, as in cutting the root. Is it more realistic at a less advanced state of realization to say that the negative emotions are still there, but you can sometimes let them go, not identify with them, not get so caught up with them? We are not saying that we can get rid of all the kind of negative emotions just now. We are saying that we can get rid of the negative emotions eventually. Nobody is saying now. We all know that we are not that advanced, but we don't have to be so advanced to know that it can eventually be got rid of. So therefore, in order to do that, we need to practice now, and now, step by step, not expecting it to happen now, but eventually, after a long, long time. So therefore, I want to get rid of it. I will try to get rid of it. But it will not get rid of it at the moment. But even if it is a little bit better, if a little bit I can let go, if a little bit I can be more relaxed about it, that is much better. So that I have, if that happens also, I have to appreciate myself and be happy with that. Yeah, that's true. We should try not to be caught up in them all the time. So this is more or less, I think, the questions so far about the confession. I see that some of you are starting to discuss about certain things in Bodhichaya Avatara. That's very good. Please go on. And you can discuss among yourself also. And if possible, I will also join in sometimes when I'm a little bit free. At the moment, I'm traveling very fast, but by the middle of next month, I will be home and maybe have a little bit more time. Thank you very much. All the best. Thank you.